than some of the, you know, passenger drivers. But they're also more likely to have irregular vehicles, so it's harder for us to read a transponder for a variety of reasons.
But those who don't have transponders, you find it harder to collect those tolls from them if they decide not to go through the cash lanes.
I don't believe that we have the world's best data on that, and it's something that we hope to address in the future as we begin to do a better job collecting data in a new system. That being said, anecdotally and from what we can see, no, it's not. They don't appear to be harder to collect from.
Or more likely to be violators, trucks than commercial?
No.
I mean trucks than passengers?
So in light of all this information, what we really want to do is make sure that we understand what we can do to continue to provide a value to the commercial industry, the freight industry on our system. So with that, I'm going to kind of hand it over to Amy and have her go over some of the, what we've done and where we're going to go with our next steps of the plan.
Right. So this is outreach that's separate and apart from the public awareness related to the toll increase. This was our effort to go out and better understand the freight industry and what their needs are as they relate to our system. So this past year, we reached out to the freight industry through online and intercept surveys and engaged well over 3,000 respondents. Following the survey effort, we then conducted some industry interviews with executives of major companies as well as leaders from research and policy groups. And these industry interviews were really helpful to provide some additional context to the survey results. Starting with the survey results, we found that if trucks were choosing to avoid the tollway, it was largely to avoid congestion on the system. However, the top three reasons for why they usually opt to use the tollway are, one, the tollway is usually the shortest route, two, the tollway is typically less congested than the local alternatives that they have, and three, using the tollway gives them more travel time reliability, which is, of course, important for scheduled deliveries. We then asked about amenities on our system, and 65% of respondents indicated that they would like to see more long-term and short-term parking, and this need was really pervasive. It was widespread geographically through our system. Being in the information age, nearly 90% of all respondents were interested in receiving travel time and travel information as well as road condition information, particularly in real time. We saw a strong preference for those dynamic message boards that you see on our system, and they even said they would hope to see more on the system. And finally, when we asked, you know, from your perspective, what should the Illinois Tollway focus on? The priority for all the respondents was congestion mitigation, which affirms, I think, a lot of the initiatives that we have under our current Move Illinois program. Then rounding out the survey input, we asked executives, what are the primary concerns that their industry is facing now and for the years to come? Many of them say increasing congestion on both local roads and expressways as a major threat to maintaining efficient operations. The industry is also experiencing increasing federal regulation. As you may know, there's the federal requirement is increasing in terms of the number of breaks that drivers need to take. And they also report that a shortage of drivers adds even more pressure for them to be as efficient as possible with their employees that are out there already. So this is all very helpful context to the desire for more real-time information and for congestion mitigation. Priorities from the executives, they echoed that for us, they would like for us to continue to mitigate congestion, and again, the issue of truck parking, they would like to see more on-system truck parking. We also heard from them a desire for enhanced account management and customer service, which, as you know, Business Systems has begun to explore. Finally, they expressed a desire for ongoing dialogue, recognizing that our near-term construction plans, as well as our long-term policy and plans, impact their operations, and they want to be in the loop. So with that, we took some of that input, and we saw that the overarching theme was congestion mitigation. And so what we wanted to do to help us digest some of this information was develop this map to understand where are we experiencing our highest truck volumes, and where are we experiencing most of our congestion on our system? And you can see that these coincide largely on the tri-state, with most of our congestion occurring along the central tri-state, which would really be helpful for us, as we know, in the coming years, we're going to be looking at reconstructing the central tri-state. But these are some of the types of discussions that we wanted to start with you. How do we take this information and absorb this and carve out next steps for us? So with that, I'll hand things over to Rocco.
Amy, last a quick question right there?
Sure.
Just in that last slide there.
Yes.
So I'm just to coincide with the color-coded chart.
Yes.
So it looks like, so the purple, the severe, is in that area where you have the purple.
Yeah, right. So the purple is really located right here into the central tri-state. And then the red is sort of next tier down.
So it doesn't necessarily, so there's no correlation necessarily with the amount of annual daily traffic. Is there some type of correlation? For example, where you have a high number of trucks in different parts of the map there.
They're certainly correlated, right? I mean, trucks as well as passenger vehicles are contributing to congestion. But what I'm trying to point out here is maybe identifying some priority locations for us in the future as we look at where trucks are going and where our congestion is going.
Okay, that makes sense.
This is our greatest level of traffic on our entire system.
Period. Commercial or passenger, just overall.
So regardless, okay.
O'Hare Airport is right here.
Okay.
And these numbers only reflect commercial activity. These numbers for
2020. Yeah. Just the truck activity. That's what we're trying to get.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, do you want to ask that question?
So you can answer.
Chair Wolf was just asking if any of the current program will relieve any of this. While we have a rebuild budgeted in the Move Illinois plan, it wasn't budgeted to expand or extend this portion. So, however, the strategic plan assessment that the board, I can't remember which board meeting it was, has it been approved yet? The engineering work to develop kind of a strategic plan for the central tri-state, I can't remember if we brought it to board yet and no one talked about it.
That's the next bulletin where we're trying to
So we've talked about it in the budgeting process, but one of the things we want to do is to get a professional company, an engineering firm on board to do an assessment and kind of develop a plan for the central tri-state, and they may come back with some recommendations about what to do, because it clearly is the workhorse of the system and the highest and most congested, highest used, most congested part of the tollway, the central tri-state.
But I would say, I think there's a lot of things that we learned from this outreach of, from the parking perspective, things that we should be looking at when we are looking at the central tri-state parking, some of the technology. One of the things that was interesting, they really find that the DMS signs, those overhead dynamic message signs, that's what they rely upon most to provide traffic information. So what they're looking for is that real-time indication in advance of the point of congestion where they hit, so they can make some decisions. You know, if you're coming into the congestion, maybe I make a decision to drop down here under 5 or north, all on our system, of course, to avoid a point of congestion. So it's, again, that information. Other things, from a technology standpoint, is how to communicate that information to them. Some of these applications that are being developed now may be useful. The trip talk, providing real-time, again, information. I thought what was interesting is I think our perception is we're communicating with the driver who's sitting in the cab. That's not necessarily the case. A lot of the communications happen with the person back at the office who's telling the driver, and that's one thing we learned is people back at the office are telling the driver, you must take this route, period. You're going to go this way. So it's communicating with the person at the distribution end or
the dispatcher.
To provide information.
Which is a little inconsistent relying on the signs above the road.
Will the new congestion mitigation system we're putting on 90, will that create the data you would need to electronically transmit that to dispatchers and or the trucks themselves before they get into the system?
That'll be part of, we'll have so much data. It's what do you push out and how much do you push out and sifting through that data. So on I-90 we'll have tremendous amounts of data of what's happening, in a more real-time perspective. If we can maybe just kind of, so...
Did Director Reddick, I'm sorry.
Well, I just think that one of the things that, in taking a look at this, and part of this came out of the discussions we had prior to this meeting, but in you break down this information, so like Chair Wolf pointed out, it seems counterintuitive the way the industry's set up, and then we're getting feedback that, they're relying on the overhead signage. I think what's important to note, at least for me it was, is that we've done a really good job, or we've really taken as an organization efforts to communicate with the trucking industry for a long period of time. And a lot of that has to go with, you should take a look at these priorities that are on slide 6, the enhanced account management and customer service things that we've been working on for quite a while. And that communication has been based on the discussions we've been having with the trucking industry and with the people that are in management here. If you take a look at where a lot of this information is coming from, for the first time we've kind of supplemented that with these interviews of the drivers that are out there, and I think that's where some of this becomes a little bit different and why we're getting some information that, at least to me, seems different than where we were, so that makes more sense that way.
And that was the intent of, let's not just assume what we know, let's figure out, go talk to the man on the street, if you will, to find out more. And it was pretty impressive. We had almost 2,400 online surveys and nearly 800 or 755 field intercept surveys. So talking to people, talking to truckers out at truck stops to find out what their needs are. So again, we hit different groups and categories, as you said. We hit the driver, and we also talk to the people in the office, and then also the executives with some of these industry interviews to get that broader perspective.
One thing that strikes me is that as users of our facilities, our infrastructure, the percentage is relatively small. The revenue from that relatively small group is fairly high, and it's with this increase in pricing will go higher. And I think that drives me to look at that group and say, these are prime customers of ours. And when they bring up things like communication and parking, that we really need to pay some strong attention to that. I think, in the immediate future here, we've talked about a lot of these things, and it's probably time to really see what we can do to address it. Parking, to me, and we've heard about that, but parking to me is not just parking. Parking to me, for truck drivers, has a lot to do with safety. It has a lot to do with their safety. It has a lot to do with the safety of the other people in cars moving down, the tollway. And so when we look at that, we could be talking about long-term. We could be talking about short-term. We could be talking about no amenities except a place to park. We could be talking about having amenities like in-truck heaters if they're going to be parked for 8 or 12 hours. Do they want to, leave the engine running for that period of time, or would, in-truck heaters available? What should we look at providing as a matter of course? What should we look at providing at a cost? And parking is, just one of those areas. I mean, physically, we got to figure out what we have available for that purpose. But I think it's something that's a serious issue, and it's very high on their list, as we saw. In terms of communication, my question would be, we're already making advances relative to communicating current situations and what's up ahead type of information, etc., to the general population that uses the tollway. To what extent does that satisfy, in our minds, having interviewed truckers in the industry? Does what we're already doing satisfy the need, and where do you see needs that are greater than what we're providing as a matter of course for everyone?
And may I pile on? And this question comes too late. It should have been before the survey, but maybe you already did it. When you ask people about their priorities, did you ask them who does it right? Where is the tollway or the freeway or the highway with the best parking, the best amenities, so we can figure out who to model after? Maybe now that you've surveyed them, you have emails and you can communicate with them.
We actually did get a lot of people who said, yeah, they'd be willing to be part of a follow-up survey. Several hundred of those, if I recall, that okay. said they'd be willing to participate in a follow-up. Maybe we just talk a few different things. I would not say it's piling on, but there was a lot of stuff that was thrown out there.
from a parking perspective, I think from a discussion standpoint, staff guidance, we understand there's a need for parking both short and long term. That was one of the, we didn't really know what kind of parking needs are out there. It seems like we need everything. What we could and maybe should be looking at, if you so choose, is getting a better understanding of what kind of partnership we should be looking at. It should be something that we, the tollway, take on. Do we look within our right-of-way itself to see what we could do? Do we look to some private partners? Because the issue with parking has always been maintenance. If you have amenities there, who's going to maintain those amenities? You know, if you talk about some form of power units or some heating devices, things like that, should that be something that we explore?
That's not, I mean, the real amenity that I remember hearing from the industry that they were interested in is a restroom facility, right? Mm-hmm. The plug-ins and those types of things, mm-hmm. not as interesting to them. But, you know, some kind of restroom facility is something that in the meetings I've attended, I've heard, mm-hmm. you know, is kind of the need.
Absolutely. And one of these things that we've learned informally that the trucks are using toll plazas to park overnight. For them, it's a safe haven where they can park. We haven't ever technically designated that as a parking area. There are some amenities there. Are these things that we should be exploring more?
Well, I think the critical question that it would be helpful to get some feedback on is the first part of what you said, I think, which
right.
is, you know, at this point it's early, so maybe we need to be pursuing everything, but do we see this as more a tollway, you know, owned and operated, you know, system of parking facilities, or do you think that this is something that we should be looking for, some kind of public-private partnership for these amenities? Maybe it's a both, maybe it's, I mean, it's obviously not neither, given the conversation we've just been having. So
I guess I would just, you know, just good, I think I just want to just, again, pile using Chair Wolf's term, pile going up, and I don't disagree with anything Director Wisner said. I guess just in terms of looking, I agree, Rock. I think you all did a great job. I love the qualitative and quantitative data that you've kind of received back. And I think when you go and make that kind of effort to get that type of data, you try to kind of let that guide your decision making. And not to kind of tell you kind of, you know, where to go with this, but again, I think Director Wisner pointed out, you know, setting short term and long term objectives. And I know we're talking about parking, but I mean, I just believe when you look at the data, make sure that you start with what's actually attainable, you know, depending on, again, based on short and long-term objectives. And it looks like congestion, parking, there are several issues here, but I think maybe some additional analysis of breaking it down and saying, okay, here are some short-term objectives, here are some long-term objectives, here are some things that we're already kind of doing to address some of these findings, and then here are some things that we think we can actually achieve over a period of time based on kind of what we've heard and what our available resources are, including staff time, et cetera, et cetera.
Is there any feedback on the public-private question?
I was just going to say, is there any reason that we wouldn't explore that? I think it makes sense to just see what the market is out there, because it certainly would be both more efficient for us and not, I mean, depending, I suppose you could charge, and then so it wouldn't ultimately cost us anything, but it would always cost us the management time, even if we were charging. So if there were a public-private partnership or somebody else took on both the cost and the
management. As long as you don't dissuade people from using it, but maybe we can do a little bit more work to see what other, this is a perfect, probably, opportunity for us to do the assessment.
Well, I think if you look at what's out there already, and anybody's driving the tollways or the central tri-state at night, you see what's going on in the toll plazas. Their trucks are lined up almost into the traffic lane, looking for a spot. So there's a situation there, and the problem with the central area is going to be obviously, you know, the space to. When you look at the congestion already, I mean, it would tell you that we probably are going to need to do something with that, leaving less room for trucks on top of it. So is it the entranceways into the various corridors that we look at for room, and partnering makes all the sense. If you just get on the Borman right now and you drive through northwest Indiana, those large trucking facilities are full. at night. They're full, it's overflowing.
Yep.
But that's partnering. I mean, those are, you know, those are the, it's the private entity. If we could, I think really if we supply the entrance and the exit and you make it easy, the private market will step up. And definitely in this area, there's really nothing like what you see in these outlying areas coming into Chicago on our system for the trucks to go to.
Didn't we have a presentation about potential places to do parking maybe 6 to 8 months ago?
That was the kickoff of some of the freight work. What we looked at that point in time were, you know, some of our the toll plaza, the Oasis facilities, right, that we had a couple locations within our existing right-of-way. We said, okay, what can we do within our own right-of-way? And if we do something like that, is that something? And we look for a private partner to assist with that. But that's
or something more than that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, so certainly parking, I think, would be in the both short and long term category, because mm-hmm. it's possible we could do something about it in the near term and also need to maybe develop a strategy around it in the long term. Communication, the real time communication, just documenting what we're doing, but also figuring out if that's enough for the dispatch mm-hmm. units, right, which was some new feedback that we, I think, received in this process that I certainly didn't fully appreciate. Mm-hmm. So we'll take a look at that. Congestion, particularly as you look at this most congested area, that will, I think, help inform some of the work that we're doing on that central tri-state study, because clearly it's very important to probably our entire customer base, honestly, but this segment in particular, which again is a longer term.
Right, so that's my question. So again, that's kind of your answer for the congestion piece. You're going to have to kind of waiting on what that strategic, what that plan, that analysis looks like.
Yeah.
After, when is that? What's the?
Well, the work on the central tri-state isn't projecting our program until what, 2020?
2020 per the Move Illinois book right now is when we do actual construction work. So we were trying to start this master planning and design work in it well in advance, so we can get an idea and figure out some of these things.
Yeah.
Just a couple thoughts. One, I think, you know, an inventory of space available potentially for parking would be very useful, and I think that would start to drive a little bit the answer to the public-private idea as opposed mm-hmm. to the tollway managing. I think another thing that might be healthy, and I think you guys may be way ahead of me on this, would be to take a really good look at our oases as they are and see precisely how they're being used or not, and to see whether there is, you know, the ability to focus a little bit more on truck parking in those facilities or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may not be, but you know, a parking lot that's on system or a parking area on system is, you know, a little bit different than one that's off system. Mm-hmm. Off system certainly lends itself to public private, you know, pretty easily. If it's on system, then we have the issue is that we want another party that's not tollway, you know, messing around on the system. Mm-hmm. So.
I guess as we're taking a look at it, the other thing that I'd like, I mean, I think there's a clear priority to examine this parking issue further. One of the things I'd like to get a better idea of with some numbers, if we could, is the impact of expanded parking on these other issues that we've talked about as a priority for the tollway. Decreasing congestion, increasing safety. To me, it seems like there's a natural partnership there. I'd like to know, you know, as we're taking a look at this, these potential investments in parking, you know, what's the return on these other areas? Because I think that will help formulate this argument going down the line quite a bit.
Maybe we can look at, you know, whether it's part of the master plan for the central tri-state, that this is kind of becomes part of it, or if there's another separate professional, you know, contract or engineering firm or somebody who can help with that assessment, because that type of kind of cost-benefit or return on investment analysis, I'm not sure how we get to that internally, but I think it's certainly worth doing because it, you know, clearly would have some impact. So.
Just for clarification, when we're talking about communication, we're referring to the 89% of the respondents who are interested in receiving the additional travel information. Is that what the conversation is? Because if not, I'm just curious. Obviously, that's a huge number, and I think, Rocco, you kind of talked about dispatch receiving information and passing that on. I mean, do we communicate with them? I mean, how do they, we communicate with them regularly? Is that how they receive a lot of their information? How do they dispatch?
So I think
construction updates, things like that. We let them, here's what's going on in the system. It's not. Maybe that's really an area where we could have some improvements.
I think we do a decent job, and we've got new plans for Trip Talk and other applications, the Smart Cord on I-90, where the actual drivers will have access to real time information. And I suppose there might be some aspect of Trip Talk or something like that maybe could be better adapted to the dispatch, right. The central dispatch for the companies, which I think is the point.
Sure, that there's someone they can plug in.
And get the more real time. I mean, there are that information's available, but it's kind of it's not as comprehensive maybe as it could be, or as easy for them to use as it could be. We should look at it.
Sure. The other area, I think, with the communication side, whether it's ends up coming through the dispatcher or elsewhere, is that I think we need to be really sure that whatever we're doing is provided in a hands-free way, because I've seen truck drivers with their smartphone in their face, and anybody that's driving a 40-foot semi that has their cell phone out, well, that scares me. So I think we have to make sure that we really drive that forcefully so that it's hands-free only.
So we didn't really address this first question of the guiding principles. We've sort of moseyed around it, but I think to that point and to your earlier point, Director Weisner, about truckers being tired and not having good places to go, we need to make sure that principle is incorporated. I think we always are thinking about how to become better customer service, how to meet their needs, but I think we need to think about the safety and its impact on the other people on our roads.
And the only other, I think I would add to that, Chair Wolf, in terms of a guiding principle, I would just simply add, let the data guide the decision making. I mean, I think that's important as well, that you did a great job in terms of getting that type of feedback. I think it's important to adhere to that and listen to what those folks are saying.
Any other comments? Rocco, any of the priorities that we failed to talk about here that would have been important?
I think you hit them, because that's what we were internally thinking the same things. This congestion relief and safety obviously is key, and tying in our broader Move Illinois goals of customer service, which we talked about that, safety, congestion relief. The other things we look at were parking. We've had plenty of discussion about that, and it's really, I think, looking at some of, as you said, these partnerships, where can and should we be going with some of the partnerships on this.
Just to ask if I could, enhanced account management / customer service was one of the points raised. When we deal with the commercial trucking industry, is our customer service homogenized, that we just kind of take all comers and deal with them whenever they may be, or have we ever looked at the idea of segregating out, a specialized service for the commercial industry that deals specifically with this?
Director Reddick and I had participated, I think, a little less than a year ago, in some focus groups with fleet organizations, including trucks. And we did conclude that they needed specialized customer service. So we have set up our call center so that there is specialized customer service, where they get more experienced customer service representatives, and they can kind of be fast-tracked to that group. And then that group has, which is uncommon for a customer service representative, email access and all that other stuff to go back and forth with them on some of their more intense and iterative issues. We did a soft launch of it, and we had it as a select option on when you call in our 1-800 number. But it turns out people don't really wait for the menu. So it has not been working quite like we had hoped. And so we are now working to, in the next, actually, couple of weeks, I was actually just confirming that we've got the technology about to be implemented, set up a separate 1-800 number, and then email our actual fleet organizations directly and say, please use this number. And that number will go to the specialized group. And then we'll remove the prompt from our general menu, where, again, nobody's really paying the right attention to it.
Okay. Do we I'm not, going back to the parking one more time, when we see what goes on in a lot of these oases, are we getting a lot of complaints from the neighboring homes or businesses on the idling trucks issue? Because I think in some of these facilities, yeah, the truckers don't really care for that as much as they do the restrooms, but the reason you have them is so that you don't have the problem with the neighbors.
Right. Yeah, we do get some complaints, and historically have, and what we have taken basically a position where there are residential areas near any oases, what we've done is built some form of a wall around there, kind of a site screen, something like that. There's actually one that's going in, or might have just been installed, I believe, in Schiller Park near the O'Hare Oasis. So we do receive complaints on occasion from the neighbors about that. And we, over time, have been trying to address it in some manner, you know, basically trying to put some form of a screen up there. We do get the complaints about occasionally, too, about the idling of trucks as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, should we move on to the next presentation on the agenda?
Yeah, I think so. Mr. Sherman has to comment on this one, but just in case he wants to comment also on the last one, we'll wait until we're done with that. Okay? Yeah.
So, the last discussion we wanted to have concerns a policy that we really feel we need to develop and wanted to make sure we got some input from the board, which is excess right-of-way policy. As you know, the tollway acquires right-of-way. It's part of our project development, and we often have excess parcels that people are interested in, communities, local governments, or that we want to do something with, different than just holding only in our own bank of right-of-way. And we wanted to get some feedback from the board of how best to address this excess right-of-way, so right-of-way that we're not necessarily using at this current point in time or potentially even at a future point in time, to make sure we're doing the right thing by the tollway but also by any interested parties, local units of government, et cetera. So Rocco and his team have done, I think, a really nice job of trying to make this a manageable discussion topic, so I'll turn it back over to him.
Let me try to change gears on this one. Pun intended. Come on. Change gears. Thank you.
Oh, we got it.
Thank you, Wendy. So this is an interesting topic for us, that's for sure. It's something that I think over time we've been realizing and that we have to deal with it. With access right-of-way, as you well know, we're in the process now of the Move Illinois program. We're acquiring a lot of land. We already have a lot of land. We're one of the largest landowners in the state of Illinois, for that matter. But what I want to do is kind of just give you a brief overview of our existing authorization, talk about some of the way we approach it now, and really talk about some goals for a new policy. I think there's an opportunity for us to really look at something different and set a path here for the agency of what we can and should be doing in the future to promote and push our goals of economic development and disposing of some excess land. So the tollway has excess right-of-way authorization. We are allowed to dispose of excess land. The base of the Toll Highway Act and the trust indenture basically provides provisions in there for us and tells us how we should dispose of excess land. Ultimately, it comes to the board for final approval. I'm going to go through these first few slides relatively quick. So as I said, the Toll Highway Act and the trust indenture provide the basis for how we can dispose of excess land. Basically, it's been somewhat of a reactive approach for people to approach us about is this excess land, and then we go to a three-step internal review process by staff and engineering, and there's also a review by multiple departments, depending on what that excess request is. But then there's also a formal process of how we dispose of excess right-of-way. We could dispose of it to a public agency via an intergovernmental agreement. We could do a sealed bid to a private entity. So basically, people would bid on it. Private entities would bid on it. And the value of that excess land is determined by appraisal. I've got in the appendix a lot of the details about how we approach this today if you want to talk about that. But as I said, ultimately, it's board action that has to come to you for a decision based on the information that receive and understand through the process. Generally, we get about 10 to 20 requests annually for excess land. So most of those are disposed of or handled at the staff level. When we do a review of that parcel, we realize it's really not excess. We need it for some purpose, whether it be a purpose today or a future purpose. So a lot of those that we get are disposed of or handled at staff level. But there are some opportunities for some other parcels that we do acquire that where maybe there is a value beyond just the tollway purpose, or maybe even a private or public value to it. What the goal today is really to do, to talk about what we can and should be doing with future access right away, as from a disposal process, and trying to get some direction on some of these requests that we have. But what we know for sure, with the 294-57 project, we acquired a lot of land. Some of the land that we acquire, the reason sometimes it's excess is because we have to acquire a whole property because it may be on economic limit. So we have to acquire more than just for the footprint of the roadway, so we end up with some excess land. But we're seeing that on the 294-57 interchange project. Now we're going through the process of acquiring a lot of land through the National Hair Western Access project. We're realizing in the future we're going to have some potential excess land on those projects. We've got some land that we've acquired historically that may be deemed excess. We're starting to realize that this is something that we're going to be grappling with over the next couple of years. What we'd like to do with the policy, getting some feedback, is to really figure out a way to balance our tollway statutory requirements of what we have to do statutorily with the economic development goals of the Move Illinois program. Some of these, as I said, some of these excess parcels may have a value to them beyond just a roadway or something to that effect. It may be an economic purpose. So there are opportunities from a local perspective to take some of this tollway-owned, tax-exempt property and turn it into something that is income and revenue-producing for the local governments. So what we want to do is have some form of policy that, again, considers both of our needs. Really what I want to get into is to kind of get some thoughts about things that we should be doing to spur some discussion for a future policy and guide our efforts in this policy development. One thing that we've never done, but realizing as we're going through this now and we're being approached by a lot of different public entities, is that maybe what we should be doing, and, you know, this is what we want to have some discussion on all these topics, but is allowing another government agency the offer to acquire the land before we go out to public bid on the land. Understand? Do they see that? Is there a need for this use of the land? We typically haven't gone directly to a public entity. What we're seeing is that there's again, these economic opportunities. You know, if you've got one parcel of land that can be consolidated with multiple parcels of land, maybe there's more of an opportunity to come up with something that's more viable from an economic standpoint. But typically, we would say that it's got to be a public use for the property. A public use, or for a public purpose. Public purpose is typically a road, a park, or something that is not necessarily income producing. So, you know, is this something that we should be contemplating now as we come up with a new policy? Going right to another governmental agency as a first right of first refusal, for lack of better words. If so, is there some kind of documentation that we'd like to see to understand how that land might be used in the future? Should we be contemplating land use restrictions? We don't want certain developments to go on land that's going to cause issues or concerns for us in the future. If we do have some land use restrictions, what type of level review or approval should we have of the tollway? Again, what's a public purpose? Is a public purpose a private use at some point in time? So these are things that I can kind of jump into.
May I ask a question about that? Why, let me do it a different way. Is there a legal reason it would have to be for a public purpose? Just looking at the language in both the indenture and the law, you wouldn't assuming.
In general, there's not chair. The focus is the tollway, when we do have land, that it be used for tollway purpose.
Right.
When it comes time, consistent with the board feeling that it should leave the system, leave the authority, we're still public stewards, but it's not as required that we worry about what use it would become.
Okay, but when we buy land, we do it at market rates, right? So it's not like anybody's giving us a break because we're using it for a public purpose.
Well,
so,
Chair, I can speak to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, for example, if we get it from either another municipality, say DuPage County, or Aurora, or let's say IDOT, their conveyance may have a restriction in the conveyance to us, either a reverter clause, so we would have to, you know, monitor that. Sometimes those clauses have restrictions related to a public use,
okay,
because we didn't pay for it, they did, and it's going down the chain, so we would have to monitor it that way.
So there may be some with restrictions on it, but there may be some that aren't, that could.
Yes, I could say with generality, when we acquire and we pay fair market value, unless there's easements or other restrictions in the, what we would call the chain of title, there are generally no restrictions on us moving forward. We would impose those restrictions going forward.
And again, I guess, what's the argument? We're kind of, you know, schizophrenic is too wrong a word, but we have multi-purposes here. We do think about the importance of raising money to be able to support the work that we do, including things like having sponsors on the help trucks and things like that. So on the one hand, we look at what we do that way. On the other hand, we obviously are a public entity and have responsibility.
Well, and I think that you could make the argument in public purpose here. I think one of the things we were looking for, whether this is the term to use or not, is what would be defined as the right purposes, and maybe we don't care. But, you know, there is a self-serving aspect, too, to things like the land being used for economic development purposes, right? Because development along the tollway system means more users on the tollway system accessing whatever those developments are. So, you know, and you could make the argument, you know, we've talked before about the complications of residential development, right, on the tollway versus commercial or retail. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things we were trying to get at here was this: should there be a priority with local governments, which I think has historically been the case? You know, is that appropriate? It's still appropriate. And then, you know, are there priorities that we should place, whether with a local government or other, on different types of development or usage, or is it just,
right,
you
so
know, whoever first come, first serve? Or
maybe I misunderstood public purpose. I think what I'm hearing you say is purpose consistent with the tollway operation. So it could also be a nature area. The problem would just be, do we want to have residential? Or, I mean, what, there are certain things that we think we probably don't want, and there are certain things that we probably do want. So that's more, okay, I got it.
Could be, I don't.
I guess in this whole thing, I think it's important that, you know, because when you just take a look at that term overall, I think we, a lot of times we have kind of pigeonhole as to what those uses may be, but, you know, the effectiveness of our planning and the implementation of our system, I think, have created opportunities that would include, and I think we need to seriously consider and employ economic development as an appropriate standard to be considered there. You know, perhaps at the time of the acquisition, they weren't viable options, but because of the efficiency and the well-planned system that we've created, that becomes a viable and appropriate public purpose. And I think whatever policy we implement should allow that to be a consideration for this board and future boards to use.
There are some instances where you might want to adopt a Chicago Metropolitan Sanitary District has traditionally leased their land on long-term, you know, 7,500-year leases, and I don't know if that's commercially viable to do that as well.
But it's an option.
But it's an option.
It is absolutely an option.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things, you know, one of the points I consider out there. Should we be contemplating lease of land? Leasing land has other implications to it. There's a use of that land, but then you also have to manage that that element of what the lease is. You know, basically now you're a landlord, again, for lack of better words.
I think.
And what are the uses there?
I think one consideration is we, you know, whatever we may do as a policy, one thing to keep in mind, I think. is the viability of the land for various purposes. And one of those, you know, I think, is it the Century Network from North, is Northern Illinois the Century Network? What's the network that goes right down the tollway right over? There's a fiber network.
Well, the Illinois Century Network is the overall
right.
fiber network with the kind of loop that goes through, I think, the national labs and the university system right. and then our
but
own fiber.
But doesn't it go into our right-of-way? Isn't there a lot of fiber?
There is our own fiber on our right-of-way, and I think that we've, you know, linked into, apologize, I thought this was off.
Yeah, I don't think
but anyway, I think there's a fair amount of potential for connectivity, you know, in the right-of-way. The other thing that's happening now is that, you know, one of the more expensive things about fiber is the last mile, as they call it, which in some cases is 500 feet or, you know, 500 yards, whatever. But with wireless technology now is very powerful and can, you know, cover a gap of a couple miles without any problem whatsoever at pretty high bandwidth itself. And so we have the potential, especially in a corridor of the tollway where you have corporate buildings and you have, you know, businesses, et cetera, that it's possible that we could be a little entrepreneurial in that direction. And that just takes a pole with an antenna on it. So it doesn't take a huge amount of space. And we're doing some, I think we're doing some of those things now.
Yeah.
But I think just as you look at disposing of land, I would just consider what value it might, certain areas might have for that purpose going forward.
So, and to that is, where, you know, the kind of the first point, should we be going? Because we're approached sometimes by a private entity. Typically, we're not going to go to the public agency. And who is the public agency? Is it the county? Is it a municipality? About, is there another public use for that property? We're looking at it from our own perspective to say, do we have a use for that property? So to kind of flip around a little bit from a policy perspective, it sounds like what you're saying is we should be going to the municipal agency or whatever it may be, a county or city, maybe both, make sure that they don't have disputing plans on a piece of property before we call it, you know, dispose of it as excess.
Yeah, well, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that I think the tollway.
I'm glad I
could look at property.
Right,
I'm glad I clarified
that.
I'm
saying, let me close.
Perfect. It may be Morocco's thing.
Are we talking about right away? I thought we were 53.
No, what I'm saying here is that let's look first at what uses we can make of those properties that could be beneficial. They could have a lot of benefits to economic development, and at the same time, we could make a dime off of it. The other thing, but on the other, getting to your point that I didn't make, was that in terms of governmental agencies, I think you do have a little bit of an issue there. How do you prioritize? And if there's multiple agencies that could have an interest, you know, aren't you going to end up kind of giving it to the highest bidder?
Well, my recollection is there's a state statute on this. There's a land disposal statute that we should look at and see if it's one that, or maybe you already know.
Well, we've got our own. Our process is called out in our trust indenture and you know, and through the Toll Highway Act as well. But you know, I think it gets back to this defining what a public purpose is when you get rid of it. Ours would have to go for no less than the appraised value if we dispose of it.
Yeah, the market value, not necessarily what we acquired it for.
Yeah.
That might be a difference. That, for example, we may have purchased it in a robust market.
It'd be current market value.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, the distinction here is if we do go to a public entity, again, you may have a small piece of land, but if you consolidate that small piece of land into something larger because other public entities, and we know this to be the case on a couple parcel today, can you consolidate that land that may be owned by some government or different private entities and really come up with a more robust economic development as opposed to, you know, a remnant strip or somebody trying to block? Can you do something larger where it would be a transfer via agreement to a public entity knowing that they've got a larger use that is going to go to a private development?
This is certainly one of those cases where I'd like to see what other toll authorities do.
Yeah, I think, and there may or may not be. I think also, I don't recall from my time here of kind of competing public entities over a piece of excess right-of-way, where we got an indication from multiple public entities that they were interested in our excess right-of-way. So while, you know, certainly you do have to maybe anticipate that could happen, I don't know that that's, you know, the primary scenario.
There may be some instances where one entity says, this is a great place for a park. And somebody else says, well...
I'm saying that's not been my experience
right.
here. We
right.
can all draw a lot of mm-hmm. what-ifs and could-bes and something could happen, and mm-hmm. we have to anticipate those things. But I'm just trying
right.
to articulate that in the
that.
4.5 years that I've been here, that yeah. is not... I'm not familiar with kind of
yes.
competing public...
Interesting, though, but as a mayor, you know, I'd be very concerned. I might not be avidly seeking a piece of property. It might mm-hmm. be one that I think if it ended up available to the private sector, they might develop it. But I'd sure as heck want to know if the forest preserve was going to gobble up some very good mm-hmm. developable land for its own purposes without my knowing it. I'd want to know. I'd want some notice that this was out there.
So maybe getting consensus from the overlapping jurisdictions on whatever the use is, right? So that's something we've run into.
And wouldn't
right.
it be subject to the local zoning ordinance? You know, and I think Rocco's presentation, I mean, and Director Reisner was saying about, you know, could it have a potential use for fiber? And I mean, all of our focus right now is internal. Like, we look at it and say, do we need it for system expansion? Are we going to have an interchange at this location maybe sometime in the future? Do we need it for stormwater
mm-hmm.
detention? Is there some other... I mean, we've been all focused internal. We haven't necessarily considered any of the external.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a fundamental question walking around here is, if we start thinking about that, is our primary purpose to have the tollway benefit financially? And I just think that's a question we have to address, because if they're little pieces that are going to make some community and then some developer very rich,
mm-hmm.
we ought to be thinking about what obligation do we have to ourselves, our customers, our whatever.
Into our bond. What's
the financial payoff the actual acquisition price of those small pieces? Or is the benefit the use, ultimate use of the property?
Do we get a percentage
that drives...
what?
Well, you're talking about a direct compensation. I guess I'm talking about the traffic that's generated, the economic development that's happened, you know, the jobs that are created that ultimately bring more customers to the tollway
mm-hmm.
versus the direct payout, right, to the tollway for the property.
I guess from my standpoint, I'd like to see, as we're moving down the road of this policy and kind of, you know, I guess my input of what I'd like to see coming out of this is, I think looking at number one, you know, do you reach out to these other public entities? I think it's important for us to be good neighbors with these other governmental bodies that abut our roadways, and we want to work with them and let them know what's going on. However, I'm a little bit wary as we're sitting here trying to pontificate about what may be the future needs 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road about having some hard and fast rule that it has to be this or this. I am more comfortable with a policy that sets out appropriate factors to be considered and evaluated and rely upon the good judgment of this and future boards in being able to implement something that best benefits the community and the tollway users and our bondholders. So I think it's important to lay this information out, but in a way that allows us to utilize common sense and good decision making, you know, for overall best growth.
Are there any factors that we should be considering? One of the other points is, what kind of documentation or studies would you like to see? Because that's what we would like to put into the policy. In our interchange policy, for example, we do, before we advance a project, we ask these local municipalities, tell us what your plans are, what's the economic development that's going to come out off of this property. Are there things that we'd like to see from a disposal policy comparable to that, or other factors that you'd like to see specifically?
Well, let me just say, I would very much appreciate, you know, you guys talking to other authorities and
mm-hmm.
getting their policies if they exist.
Yes.
And then summarizing that for this committee, because I think this is a, you know, this
maybe.
Is...
Maybe
I felt sort of what I got on this very issue. I mean, it's extremely burdensome to try to, it's almost an act of Congress for IDOT to dispose of excess land. You know, we have a small parcel of our lawn in front of our facility in Countryside that we think historically was part of a way, you know, kind of a little way station when Route 66 was developed. It's been years trying to figure out how we could
purchase that from IDOT so that we could just move a sign. So whatever we do, we need to make it clear and as easy, especially in instances like this. These little, you know, pocket pieces of land that you'll never use.
So the first principle is simplicity.
Simplicity.
And I think I'm obviously not being clear. I think there's something in between economic development generated by this and then the immediate cost of something. I think if there is an ongoing residual benefit,
some
monetary,
upside, right? Some upside.
So it's running the cable or the dish, and is there an ongoing rent that comes from that point when you do something like that? So I think there are three stations on that continuum.
Well, I can speak to, if we're speaking about a corridor, preserving a corridor, for example, on 355, we did do a corridor easement with ComEd. Traditionally, with fiber, what this agency does is we do permits.
I think that the question is more one of, and this, so we'll flush this out in whatever draft you get, but I think it's more, you know, if it, not necessarily for those types of purposes, but if there is some transfer for purposes of a larger development or economic development, you know, instead of it being just we get a huge amount of money up front that may make it prohibitive to do it, or we give it away for nothing, basically, is there some balance where we get some upside from the development or ongoing
residuals
or something like that, I think is the, so that contemplating some unique structures.
But that would also include increased use.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have potentially, if, for instance, like a 53 is going to be built, future issues with, you know, replacement of wetlands that have been destroyed? Are these excess properties open to that type of development? Instead of paying a developer to redevelop something that we have to purchase off of our facilities and not utilize these pockets for that type of replacement, tit for tat that you need to do.
That's part of our internal evaluation. What is there use for our staff? And if there's any, maybe even the inkling of use, we typically hedge on the side of let's not get rid of it because we might have, maybe not, you know, maybe for detention or storage or things like that. But that's part of what we do internally. What might that use be in the future? And we'll look at that for, definitely for some of the environmental or water storage and things like that. And, so that's something that's part of our process now.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't
want to... I just want to make sure I get, because, you know, what... One of the issues that we, you know, I want to make sure we address as we put this forward is there are these small, there's these parcels of land. I want to make sure I hear it clear that we would be transferring it, possibly, or selling it, or be in agreement to a to another public entity, but knowing that they're going to take that and really turn it over into a private entity. That seems to be something that we may be open to. Again, taking our piece and okay. Because that was one of the things. And we want to be, you know, simple, and we want to be consistent. That's the greatest thing about having a policy.
But I think we also heard that we want enough flexibility that, you know, I think some of the times the frustrating things about working with public entities is that in an effort to be consistent, it's kind of a one-size-fits-all approach that makes them impossible to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, making sure that we have that balance, which we'll try to develop, I think, in whatever draft we get back to.
But
not, very helpful.
And not to go on endlessly on this issue, but the city, like the city of Aurora, we have a very small parcel that we pick up and it's next to something. If we make that available to the neighbor,
mm-hmm.
whatever, that's a very small parcel. If we had something that's 3 acres, we would look at that a lot differently.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll
follow
into it.
Very good. Is that it?
One of the other things, I'll be quick on this annexation. We just had an annexation that went through the board in October, with Green Oaks. Comparable to this, what we're going to also consider is what the annexation policy should, you know, how we approach that as well. Typically what you see happen at Green Oaks is very simple. It was very clearly within their own municipality, but sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of the annexation. So we have to agree to be annexed. So we want to make sure that, you know, I'll be considering some of the annexation requests in this policy as well. I think that's pretty much it there.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. We have another request for a comment by Mr. Sherman. Only comment for, he said 30 seconds, so, you know, 35, 40, go ahead, whatever you know.
Thank you, Mayor. Four items very briefly. First, in regards to your excess property policy, first thing you should look at is whether standalone or combined with other parcels that can be used for overnight truck parking. Second, before you release any of these excess properties, you should take a look and see if it can be leased out either for a cell tower or a billboard. I'd hate to see a situation where you sell a 400 square foot plot of land for $2,000 and then somebody leases it out to a cell phone company for $10,000 a month. Take a look and see if it would work for that. Item three of four in regards to your commercial truck policy. I see more and more semis riding the center line through toll plazas to try to beat the toll. I hope you have a policy to deal with that, and if you don't, I ask that you develop one. And the fourth item, with the massive toll increase on commercial, I'm asking that you look into the merits of establishing a lower rate for motorhomes. Motorhomes pay the same rate as commercials, but they don't generate revenue, and it might be prudent at this point to look at the lower rates for recreational vehicles, allow people with RV plates to have a lower rate than the commercial rate. If they're not carrying, the kind of freight that commercials are carrying, so they don't weigh as much. Please look into whether or not we can do a lower rate for recreational vehicles for motorhomes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Number six on the agenda, engineering planning. Anything on that? I assume not. Business systems we dealt with previously. Any unfinished business? We have no new business, no need for an executive session, I assume. In which case, I'd be happy to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. We have a motion to second adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you.